people without a relationship with God can do wonders in Jesus' name than those who are in a relationship with God or without excuse. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. You cannot separate obedience from a relationship. Just because you call me Lord doesn't mean I'm your Lord. You got to do what I say to do.
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson, one of the pastors and leaders of Bethel Church here in Redding, California. And the message you're about to see is part two of my message, Worship and Miracles. The last time we were together, I shared some powerful testimonies of supernatural healing of severe physical ailments. And I shared some key thoughts about waiting on God. In the Bible, waiting isn't inactivity. It means to lie in wait in our pursuit of God. As he says in Scripture, I will be found of you. If you'd like to grow in your understanding of the supernatural power of God's kingdom, I encourage you to get your copy of our revival resources, Supernatural Breakthrough and Keys for Walking in the Supernatural. And you can also get a copy of my book, When Heaven Invades Earth. This is where I explore the Lord's Prayer and his mandate for all believers to bring heaven to earth. Now, enjoy part two of this message, Worship and Miracles.
So extraordinary to see how miracles affect people. What I wanted to talk to you tonight about was the biblical mandate for miracles. There's a distortion of in the reading of Scripture. And I'll just give you one example here. If you'll just open to Matthew 7. I'll just give you one example. I was going to read two portions of Scripture that are actually used by the critics of the healing movement. Now, if you've been here any length of time at all, you know that I just don't bother with trying to answer critics. It's just it's a full-time job, and I don't have the time. But on one occasion, I addressed more than I would normally, because in this case, reporting that had been done could really infect and affect young believers. And so I went beyond what I would normally do. And in this case tonight, I want us to have a clear understanding of what the Lord looks for from us. Now, this is an in-your-face kind of verse. And I'm not reading this because I have any sense of rebuke or correction for anyone. Instead, I'd like to use it as an invitation and as a challenge. And it's a verse that is used, if I give a testimony on Facebook, which I actually don't do anymore, but I don't know, I think the devil subscribes to Facebook, but maybe. If I ever give a testimony of a miracle, I'll get an email or a Facebook note or something, and people will quote this passage to me. Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? And I'm sure they're just trying to encourage me. So because there's so much confusion over this verse, I want to talk about it, and we'll just do this tonight. So, you ready? Yes, yes, we're ready, Bill. Verse 21, look at it in your Bible. If you don't have yours, look over somebody next to you. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This verse is the one that is sent to me as a word of encouragement by people. And my response is, you'll notice that the people who are doing these wonders don't have a personal relationship with God. And so my response is that if people without a relationship with God can do wonders in Jesus' name, then those who are in a relationship with God are without excuse. Of course, I share that just to encourage. But let's take a look at this real quickly. Verse 21 and verse 22 are addressing two different groups of people. If you don't catch that, you miss the point. Verse 21 addresses those who don't do the will of God. Verse 22 is those who do the will of God but outside of a relationship. Yes, Bill, that's exactly right. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Stop right there. He is saying those who confess Jesus as Lord, but they don't obey, they don't get it. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. You cannot separate obedience from a relationship. And so in this passage, he says, just because you call me Lord doesn't mean I'm your Lord. You got to do what I say to do. So what does he command us to do? Well, there's a number of things. But a good example is three chapters later. He says, go, tell people the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal their sick, raise their dead, cast out devils, cleanse lepers. Elsewhere he says, preach the gospel to the poor. So he's giving very specific mandates as to what his will is. We know that the best definition of the will of God, I think anyway, is found in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, in which he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's the will of God? It's on earth as it is in heaven. It means that what's happening here that's not happening there, that needs to change. It means that what's happening there should be happening here. That's the will of God. That's why healing is the will of God. There's no sickness there. That's why torment, confusion, poverty. Interestingly, Eric was talking brilliantly, wonderful message this morning, but he talked about that word evil. And that word evil is also used in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, I should call it, in which he says, deliver us from evil. And that word evil comes from a word that means pain, which comes from a root word that means poor. What does salvation deal with? Salvation deals with sin, sickness, and torment. Right? I'm making this too long. I can feel it. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, joy. Righteousness is what? Deals with the sin issue. Peace deals with a torment issue. Joy deals with the sickness issue. Laughter is as medicine. Joy is connected to health. Prosperity of soul is a divine connection to health. They've proven medically the effects of joy. I was talking to John Arnott on the phone when I was having my issues earlier this year. And he said, watch some funny movies. I mean, honestly, it's a divine prescription. It's really easy in a move of God to get too introspective and too intense in our focus and lose the joy through labor. And it almost invites affliction. It almost invites disease. So this whole thing of evil, what is evil, the sin issue, the health issue, and the torment, the poverty issue, it's all in that word. So here he says, those of you who call me Lord, but you don't do my will, you know nothing about the kingdom. And then he goes to the second group, and he says, many of you are going to say to me, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do great wonders? Didn't we do all these things for you in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. There wasn't the relationship. I don't know if this has ever occurred to you, but in John 4 is a great, I think, the greatest revelation in the Bible on the subject of worship. And it's with a woman at the well. And Jesus turns to her and he says, the Father looks for worshipers. He doesn't look for worship. He looks for worshipers. Worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit is in partnership with the Holy Spirit himself. But in truth means nothing hidden. Truth means nothing hidden. So what does it mean? It means in worship, we're not putting up a facade. We come as we are, completely honest, completely bare. Our successes, failures, difficulties, confusions, questions, all of it. It's all an open book as we worship. See, I can know all about you and never know you. God has the hairs of our head numbered. He knows all about us. But he doesn't know us without invitation and honesty. That's what confession is. Confession is we are agreeing with what he sees. That's what confession is. All we're doing is going, yeah, I did say that. So that's what confession is. It's agreeing. So it's a part of the ongoing walking in the light relationship before God. And that's what wasn't being done here in this verse where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. So this verse that is used to correct or to scold people that pray for the sick or to look for miracles, I understand, people can get all crazy in their pursuit of miracles. I understand that. But it still doesn't stop me. Just do what he said. It's easier to figure out your identity in obedience than it is in pondering.
Pastor Bill Johnson's 5-message CD series entitled Supernatural Breakthrough is yours in thanks for any gift of support for TBN. And for a gift of $85 or more, you may also request Keys for Walking in the Supernatural, 6 messages on DVD, plus Bill Johnson's best-selling book, When Heaven Invades Earth. Call or go online now to share a gift and request all 3 of these powerful resources from Pastor Bill Johnson.
I want to be just like you, Mama.
So let's read about how good God is. God is so good to us. Everything that we need, he gives to us. I'm reading about the little cat and the little bird. And sometimes the shadows seem dark, but is God still good?
Yeah.
Good. When is God good?
Every day.
I'll end with this illustration. A little embarrassing. It's probably one I've shared 20 times before, but it'll put it in context. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he goes up to a fig tree, and it's not the right time of the year for figs. And he walks up to the fig tree to get figs. Now, Jesus is God. He created the fig tree. He knows the laws he created for the fig tree. He's pretty intelligent, knowing that it's not the season for figs, but he goes up for figs anyway. And there's no figs on it. And so he curses it. It's rather harsh. He curses it. And the disciples are stunned because they walk by it the next day and it's completely dead. It wasn't that they were shocked it died. They were shocked it died so fast. I mean, if you cut off a branch, it's not all withered and dried the next day. It takes a while. But this thing got death all the way through it quickly. And Jesus cursed it because it didn't have figs out of season. I've heard people say, you know, Jesus had bad days, you know. He just had bad days. I think it's so funny. I've heard others that have great teaching on how the fig tree is Israel and how this, you know, has this big prophetic message. I don't know. It's probably all true. I don't know. The only thing I know for sure is Jesus is the only one who has the right to demand fruit of the impossible. When he puts the spirit of the resurrected Christ in us, he anticipates the impossible. It's the mandate for miracles. It's the mandate for miracles. You know, we can become too preoccupied with us in the sense, oh, I don't have that gift. I don't have that calling. Oh, stop it. You're born again. The spirit of the resurrected Christ is in you. Quit trying to figure out who you are. Just do what he said. It's easier to figure out your identity in obedience than it is in pondering. That's just a good word right there. I feel so good about that. It's just a lot easier to figure it out when you're in motion. You know, you're just doing what he says. I mean, if you actually need to figure it out. I think it's overrated, but if you need to figure it out, it's fine. Here's common wisdom. Common wisdom is you figure out your calling by your gifts. You look at what you do well, and you come to a conclusion, this is what God's called me to do. I think that's backwards. I think you figure out your calling by God's call.
So good. Yeah.
And then you pursue him for the gifts you need to fulfill your call.
Wow. Wow.
That's why he said, pursue earnestly spiritual gifts.
Yep.
Don't define your ministry by what you do. Define your pursuit by what he's called you to do. If he's called you to be an evangelist, you'll need miracles. Yeah. That's enough. All right, let's go ahead and stand. We'll just crash land it. We'll just pretend that was a sermon. I am going to talk to you someday about this bigger picture for miracles. You know, the whole point that I should have maybe made a little clearer is he's the one who does the miracles. He's the one who does the miracles. So because that's true, and we all believe that, we need to create the opportunity for him to do the miracle. That's what the offer to pray is for. Well, would you mind if I prayed for you? That gives him the chance to do the extravagant act that he loves to do. Well, what if he doesn't do it? What if he does? You know, the one thing you can... First of all, I think we're going to see a time where everybody's healed. I believe that. And because it was a standard Jesus set. But the one thing you can make certain happens is the person you prayed for knows that you love and care for them. We've actually had, I remember one of the older gentlemen that got saved here several years ago, he was prayed for on the river trail. One of our young folks saw him limping around and prayed for him, and he was so moved for it, he came to the Lord. He didn't get healed. That's awesome. He didn't get healed, but he got saved, which is really the biggest healing anyway. He came to Christ because of the love shown to him. So don't ever say, healing is not my gift. Why? Because you're a fig tree. Don't tell him it's the wrong season. Slap yourself before those words start to come out of your mouth. And just say something that sounds good, like, with you all things are possible. Something like that. Just, you know, I feel like we could probably fix about 90% of the problems that we face if we changed how we talked. I don't mean this mind over matter thing. I mean adjust our conversation, adjust our declaration. Our conversations are actually prophecies over our own life. And then we get surprised when things turn out bad. All right, put your hands in front of you. Let me pray over you, then we'll do something fun, all right? Bless these fig trees, God. You know, I honestly want to have fruit to give him. You know, that's what our life is. I honestly want to come before him with the fruit of my life. I honestly want to present before him, these are the things that were impossible for me, but they were possible for you. And all I did was do what you said, and this is what happened. This is for your glory. So, Father, we set our hearts on this once again. We thank you for the people that came to Christ tonight. We thank you for the reality of heaven that invaded this room during the worship tonight. We just thank you for all of this. And we just set our hearts once again. No excuses. We confess you're the extravagant one. Use us this week to demonstrate your love and your power in people's lives. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. Amen, amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's the fact that Jesus actually took our place in punishment for sin so that we could step into his place of eternal life. And I invite you now just to turn your heart to the Lord Jesus and say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I turn from every part of my life that doesn't honor you, and I live purposefully to serve you, to honor you, to celebrate who you are as my Lord, as my Savior. Enjoy this selection of Bethel Music Worship. May the Lord bless you and your entire household.
What if breakthroughs and miracles could be a normal part of your daily life in God? As Pastor Bill Johnson reveals in this 5-message CD series entitled Supernatural Breakthrough, they can.
The supernatural power of God can and should be a daily part of the life of every believer. You can live a lifestyle of miracles and breakthroughs.
Right now, this series is yours in thanks for any gift of support for the outreaches of TBN. And if you're able to share a gift of $85 or more, we'll also send you Keys for Walking in the Supernatural, 6 messages on DVD to help you live a breakthrough lifestyle, plus Bill Johnson's best-selling book, When Heaven Invades Earth. Call or go online now to share a gift and request these powerful resources from Pastor Bill Johnson. Call 800-339-1601 or share your gift online when you visit tbn.org/supernatural.
Yeah.